Excellent. And there we have it, another Siren News extravaganza. And we have increased the team of midweek drivers by a factor of 100% because we obviously said hello to Kaylee. Did I say hello, Kaylee? Hello, Kaylee!
Hello, you're right.
It's like having joyous, civilised words from the northeast of England, specifically Sunderland, actually sort of sharing across the airwaves in some magical routine. But keeping the Lincolnshire end up, who better than Emma Street? How are you, Emma?
I'm very well, thank you.
Very good. And how was the holiday?
Oh, it was lovely. Yeah, good. Really nice time.
We missed you.
Yeah.
I mean, Fergus last week, inconsolable.
Yeah, I was in Barcelona.
You know,
so,
we were talking about iDents and various other bits and pieces, sharing all sorts. Ian Lennox wanted to share the sort of delights about Newcastle beating Tottenham.
Yeah, you know, there's the real reason I wasn't here.
When I saw that scoreline, my first thought was, what's Emma
Steele? Yeah, exactly. That's why I wasn't here.
First message that's coming through on that. Well, worry not, because we're going to sort of ease through with a little touch of a Kingston Calypso to take us around to the first little number, because it's going to be great. We've obviously mentioned that you heard his voice, his dulcet tones there, modelling a very fine kind of Japanese Batman t-shirt today. It's very good and nicely sort of offset with Emma's thank you next scenario there, which is no messing about, but at the end of the day, don't waste words when the actual clothing can say it all for you.
There they go, marching down the street, single file, to a calypso beat all the while. They're looking for the cat that swallowed the rat. They want to show that cat the attitude of three blind mice. Here and there, three blind mice everywhere, searching all around for the cat, all over Kingston town, pit-a-pat. They got the carving knife to cut the pussycat's life. The puss will get that knife for trifling with three blind mice. So beware, three blind mice, watch your step. Three blind mice, deadly mice, three blind mice, where they go.
As we begin to head towards the season of mists and mellow fruitfulness, a new survey carried out by the St. Lucia Tourism Authority has found that the majority of Britons like to get out and about to experience a destination firsthand when travelling abroad. Some of this research also suggests that we're still prioritising holidays abroad despite the economic uncertainty surrounding, well, it's that B word that we've heard lots about. And we won't talk about too much, I don't think, on this particular piece, in which we're delighted to welcome two fine folk. First of all, the Minister for Tourism for St. Lucia. That's the wonderful Dominic Fadi. How are you, Dominic?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Very good indeed. And the spokesperson for the Association of British Travel Agents, better known as APTA, of course, Sean Tipton. How are you, Sean?
I'm very well, too.
Excellent. Dominic, is this news that you were surprised at, or is it a case of, well, of course, you're coming to St. Lucia, you want to ensure that as far as you can, you really want to actually experience the joy and wonderment of the whole location?
Well, not at all. I think that life needs a holiday. You know, you need to get out there and meet people and, you know, experience the way they dance, the way they move, the food they eat, and you know, the places that they live in. And I think, you know, this is not surprising. I think we're always enthralled with each other's world.
And that's really part of the essence, Sean, of, I suppose, the old maxim that travel broadens the mind, that it teaches, that it expands in so many ways. Again, sometimes even when it looks as though the whole world is doomed with respect to politicians, maybe it's time to actually just take a step outside and experience that, yes?
Exactly, and I think especially when we're going through difficult times, this is when we need holidays the most. And look at the numbers, they really bear that out. Last year, 48 million of us went on an overseas holiday, 48 million trips. trips. That's a massive number. And this year, bookings are very similar. So, yeah, it's a great way to go and cheer yourself up. But I think this research goes to show that we're actually much more adventurous than we used to be. We did something earlier on this year looking at package holidays when they first started in the 1950s and 1960s. And we asked some of our older members, what did people used to do? And they said, oh, they would take away cases of corned beef and tea bags with them. And they didn't eat the foreign food because it was greasy. Well, that's no longer the case now. People are much more adventurous. And this research shows that when people are abroad, 74% say that they really want to try local food. And 59% want to know the history and culture of the area. And I think that's growing as well. But certainly that overly quoted generation millennials say that, I know they always say that they're looking for authentic experiences. And they hate to be seen as tourists. They want to be seen as travelers. Now, in fact, to be fair, if you're going on holiday, I would say you are a tourist. But that doesn't mean to say that you have to stay in the hotel, around the pool, get out and meet the local people. They'd be very, and you'll generally find in most parts of the world, people are very, very hospitable. They see you as a good thing, you're providing employment, and also they're very keen on showing you how great their country is, and that's certainly the case in St. Lucia.
Now, Dominic, as far as St. Lucia is concerned, I mean, your preparation for this work is phenomenal. I mean, you studied international journalism in the United Kingdom, you began a career as a TV journalist, you then spent 16 years as head of PR for the Eastern Caribbean region of Sandals, etc. So, is St. Lucia something where you turn around and say, yeah, this is it, this is the pinnacle, or is it just a case of, well, it's just one of the marvellous places that are actually out there?
Well, it has to be the most marvellous place in the Caribbean.
Of course, exactly.
I mean, where else in the world can you have such great access to a volcano like we do? I mean, if you ever have been there, you would see first up what I'm talking about. I mean, these pitons that we have are absolutely spectacular, the Twin Peaks of the Caribbean. And, there are so many things to do, dancing on the cocoa, trying a bean-to-bar experience in some of our resorts in Sufria, in the southwest of the country, going to the Friday night jump up. I mean, we've got a diverse of things to do, and it really, really is a great place to visit.
Do you know, for a moment there, I was sort of casting my mind back to the very first James Bond movie with the Caribbean notion of jump up, everyone jump up, but perhaps not. It's
to fly. You remember that?
it's rooted into the whole thing. Sean, of course, I think it's worthwhile pointing out that the volcanoes aren't active, because if people actually want to act,
exactly.
No, it's not another Iceland situation.
Yeah,
that'd be disaster.
Exciting holiday experience.
Yeah, just too much of that point of view. I mean, Sean, would you endorse that with respect to Dominic, or would you say, no, actually, I prefer Iceland?
I think they both have their appeal, don't they, Iceland and St. Lucia? But I, generally speaking, I think I'd rather go to St. Lucia. But having said that, Iceland is a rather stunning country, particularly, and it's the kind of place you wouldn't necessarily go for the great weather, but it's more the spectacular countryside. And that's one of the things, actually, that this research found as well, that one of the things people are very concerned about is the fact it's going to be good weather. And I think that's most, if you look out the window, most days in the UK, it is pretty grey and depressing, isn't it? So, and getting abroad into guaranteed sunshine isn't a great way to cheer yourself up. But we're very lucky in the UK, though, that we have great, the word we use in the industry is connectivity. It's basically ways that we can get to other destinations. We're really lucky on that. I mean, you get direct flights from the UK to all parts of the world. And also, the cost is pretty good. If you went to looked at flying back in the 1980s, when I first started going on holiday, it was incredibly expensive. So it was actually quite difficult to do it unless you were really well off. That's no longer the case. And I think that, that's something that we should all be proud of in the industry. We've kept those costs down so that more and more people have the ability to go abroad. And that means also, as you said initially, isn't it? Travel broadens the mind. And I think it really has. We're a much more cosmopolitan country now. And that's obviously not just because of going on holiday, but I think it's made a big contribution to that.
Okay, let's move back to Dominic, and let's talk briefly, Dominic, about the VTP, or Village Tourism Programme, which you've launched in St. Lucia, which I think finds fascinating, because you've got island communities having their own themes to showcase their culture and heritage.
Well, first of all, I think before I started talking about the Village Tourism Programme, I must congratulate you on perfecting the village accent, because when you sang that song, Jump Up, a while ago, I thought, that was pretty good.
Thank you, Dominic. I appreciate that. Yeah.
So you would fit right into our villages. We are actually reinventing 8 of our villages. And this is really the natural way of life in the Caribbean. We took a look at our destination in St. Lucia, and we said to ourselves, well, what are we going to do to remake ourselves? The research is showing that people want these unique experiences. And so what we've decided to do is to go and to preserve our villages, first of all, turn them into destinations, make sure that all of our restaurants and rum shops. Have you ever had an experience in a rum shop?
No. Now, clearly, the whole notion of Jamaica rum is a different line entirely. But that and a jump up. I mean, I'm already booking my ticket now. It's amazing, Dominic.
But we've got 7 different brands, and you know, Domino's are a big game in their rum shops, and you know, we just want to make sure that people can go and have these local experiences. We're also working in a big accommodation component these days. A lot of people are booking on Airbnb and VRBO, and a lot of these non-traditional accommodation. And so, what we want to make sure is that all of this accommodation is really standardized, and you can have, you know, the perfect quality, but not diluting the authentic St. Lucian village experience. And I think that you've done really well with your accent there a while ago. So
I don't normally do accents, but today I just felt that whole notion of jump up, dun. Fantastic. Sean, where can people go to find out further details about what we've been chatting about today?
Best place to go, I think, if you're going to do research for a destination, and that's always advisable, it's surprising how few of us do before we actually travel, is to go to the tourist board, first of all. St. Lucian Tourism Authority has a really good website. But if you want general advice about things such as the B word, we haven't mentioned yet in any detail,
then go
to abta.com. There's a few, misunderstandings.
What's the B word? Bananas?
Yes, bananas. There's a few misunderstandings about the impact of that on holiday makers. So look at our website, we'll put them straight.
And curiously, if we could only sort out the banana problem with Europe, I think all would be well. But there we are, it's a different line. Two final questions, gentlemen. Have you both had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today? Has it been okay for you?
Excellent, thank you. Let's keep jumping up.
I think so, Dominic Fadi and Sean Tipton. Many thanks indeed. Take care, gentlemen.
All the people down Kingston Town, you know, all the people go jump up. Waving arms about, weaving in and out, it's so easy to jump up. Make a pretty girl, make a whirl, and then both begin again, jump up. Hold her very tight, and for all the night, you'd be doing to jump up. Jump up, jump up, Jamaica, jump up, jump up. Jamaica, jump up, music. Jamaica, never want to stop, jump up together. Jump up, jump up, Jamaica, jump up, jump up. Jamaica, jump up, music. Stop, jump up. Then you take a hand, say we go again, jump up. Like a ball of fire, you will have a time when you're doing the jump up. All the people down Kingston Town, you know, all the people go jump up. You'll be lost to it once you try them, it never give up the jump up. Hey, jump up, jump up. Jamaica, jump up, jump up. Jamaica, jump up, music. Jamaica,
never want to stop, jump up, jump up, jump up. Marcy Simon lives a double life. Conservative professor of English by day, and controversial blogger of aliens by night. But when a classified document lands in her lap, her two worlds collide in an explosive revelation of shocking and deadly secrets. Kaylee, is that exciting or is that exciting?
Very exciting.
Very exciting. I mean, very. And who better than the creator of Marcy Simon to join us now, Jersey Shore thriller author, writer, coach, and the former president of Sisters in Crime Central Jersey. No, I don't think they do the crimes, but who knows? It's Christina Rienzi. How are you, Christina?
I'm great. How are you guys?
We're delighted to welcome you onto the program, because anybody who actually believes in all things paranormal, a closet full of designer bags, manicures, the law of attraction, aliens, angels, and the value of a graduate degree in psychology is one of our team. Isn't that right, Tessa?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Christina,
share
with us, we are not alone among us. What's it all about, and why can knowledge kill?
Yeah, so, you know, I have this kind of obsession with what we don't know about life and what the government is hiding from us. And so this is a story that takes you on a journey with Marcy from her kind of innocent little life in New Jersey, where she's this English professor with this big secret about this alien blog that she writes, because she's curious about all of that stuff, too. And it takes you on her journey up against, you know, a secret agency. So really, you know, in going through this, it's about her challenging her belief system, her going up against a powerful entity to expose the truth that she believes everyone needs to hear. And along the way, she's tested and she's pretty much hunted down the whole way that she goes through this. So it's an exciting journey. It's definitely fast paced. There are a lot of ups and downs, a lot of twists. That, quite honestly, as I was writing, I didn't see coming, which makes it exciting for me, too. And really, it's all about what is the truth, and when you know the truth, is should we be revealing it or should we be hiding it? Or what are the questions around that? So it was exciting for me to write, and certainly hopefully have my readers question these things as they embrace the unknown going into the story.
Well, I mean, again, with that strapline, embrace the unknown. Clearly, it needs to find its way into the White House. That's all I have to say at this particular stage, Christina, because,
absolutely.
You know, these days...
I'm sure I'm on a list somewhere, or at least my Google searches. I don't know.
You're on a list that's been checked twice because you've not been naughty, you've been nice. That's the important thing, Christina.
Right, I hope so. Thank you.
Exactly. It's eminent. Emma, as somebody who always embraces the unknown, it's almost your second, your middle name, isn't it? Emma, embrace the unknown street.
Yeah, it works, doesn't it?
Would you like to throw any questions at our awesomely talented Christina Rienzi?
Yes, I would. I've noticed that your book's described as new adult, and I was wondering what your definition of that is, because, I mean, I like to read young adult books, but I feel like it hasn't really caught on. Maybe it's just the UK that hasn't really caught on.
New adult, as opposed to old adult and past adult.
But I just feel like the UK hasn't really caught on to the young adult, new adult kind of book genre. So how would you define the new adult category?
Yeah, so it's funny because it's sort of a new category even for us. So new adult, it straddles the young adult and adult line. So it's really, it's the protagonists tend to be between the age 18 and 25. Sometimes they're a little older, up to 30, I think, is the maximum we define as new adult. It's more adult than it is young adult, so you're allowed to kind of touch on things that you wouldn't as much in the young adult. However, it's more of a coming of age. It's about changes, embracing the unknown, which is my kind of brand, and about just, you know, someone going into the world in their first job, their first, like, relationship, their first experience outside of their young world, where they're experiencing life as an adult for the first time, all that means, all the challenges, all the pressure, and all the questions that surround that, and certainly all the conflict, which is what makes it fun for me to write in that category.
And the other exciting thing about the text itself, Christina, is it was an Audible editor's select pick for April 2019 and featured in the 2018 ACX University webcast series. And it's just going from strength to strength of this. I mean, it's interesting that it was selected to help educate authors on choosing the best narrator for their audio book. So, I mean, literally, you have actors' careers in your capable creative hands. If you'd said no, it could have been a disaster.
Right. Oh, yeah. So I'd like to believe that, but I don't know. I think it was a wonderful opportunity. And actually, the best part of the experience was going to Audible Studios in New Jersey and getting to experience what, you know, really celebrities experience. There's celebrities there that go in and record their books. There's certainly, you know, seasoned authors and the actors that go ahead and read their books. So I got to sit in the studio. I got to hear my book being read by an actor for the first time, which was unbelievable. It really brought to life everything I've been working so hard to do. And it gives me an appreciation for the written word more than just writing it. It's really about how does it sound? What feelings does it evoke? How do you picture it in your mind? And when you hear it, it's an amazing experience. So, yeah, and it was a really wonderful thing. I'm all about sharing information. I believe in, you know, being there for other authors in the community and also, you know, just in life, as my background will show you as a coach and such. So I believed in this, and I felt like it was really important to get that out there for other authors to know what the experience was like and to help them along the way. I'm just so grateful that I had that opportunity.
The attitude of gratitude. Powerful, particularly with the law of attraction. But let's not go there. That's a whole new line. clearly,
yeah, that's another one.
These particular features have become really known as the legendary Creative Edge features. We started in the summer with Mickey Mickelson, but on all through the week, it's just getting even more wondrous and wonderful. And I noticed that you also have a connection with the fabulous Christy Stratos, who made her debut on the Midweek Drive a few weeks back, who's your editor and proofreader, indeed making sure your books are in perfect shape before publishing. Absolutely vital.
We actually met in person at a book event in New Jersey, and we became fast friends, and we belong both to Sisters in Crime, which is a mystery writing organization, and yeah, she's fabulous, absolutely fabulous.
And before we go to Tessa for various other questions, I was intrigued by the four-letter acronym INFJ, and I thought, is this something to do with New Jersey? No, it's obviously a psychological way. I mean, would you actually define what you understand as INFJ is in terms of that introverted, extroverted scenario that dreams beyond big? I mean, this is something we keep saying to our students here. You know, Kaylee, how many times have I been saying, it's not a heightist thing. Dream big. Dream big.
Yeah, that's something you always see.
dream big on the whole thing. Does that connect with your own personal philosophies, Christina?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I am. It's funny because in anywhere I go, people say, I can't believe you're an introvert. You're so extroverted. You're so social. You're so friendly. And that's really not what introversion is about at all. It's really about getting your motivation from being alone and from the energy of being alone. And so, yeah, INFJ is a Myers-Briggs psychology term. My background is in psychology. I have my master's in counseling psychology, so I've got, like, an affinity for that as well. It's intuitive, introverted, intuitive feeling and judgment. It's the way I view the world, and I've known as many times as I've taken this test, it's come out. So also a fun fact, 1% of the population is INFJ. So I feel like a little bit of a rarity there too. It's kind of fun. But yeah, I mean, the whole dream big thing, it's really about not giving up. And it's to think that anything is possible and that it, you know, you can have anything that, you know, you desire so long as you believe in yourself, believe it's possible. And obviously, you know, believe that you have what it takes to do that. You just, in this world of publishing, you can't give up. It's you know, it is a challenging environment. It's certainly something where those who persevere make it and have an opportunity to make it and be successful. So it's, I think everybody needs to kind of get outside themselves and believe that anything is possible and that they can achieve that. Believe in themselves first.
Do you know, Christina, I was almost having an out-of-body experience whilst you were actually sharing those thoughts with us. It's awesome. Tessa, any thoughts?
I was just going to say, it's kind of like a therapy lesson.
It is.
It made me feel a lot better about myself and all of us in the studio.
I still have to sort of quiz you, Christina, on what on earth is Yacht Rock Radio? I mean, is it rocks you take on yachts? Is it a case of, you know, you want to sort of deal with all this? I mean, Yacht Rock,
this,
you know.
Sounds interesting. I mean, this.
Tessa, you host Sound and Country Vision. So what is Yacht Rock?
Well, I live near the water in New Jersey, so I live near the beach as well as the river, and I'm also a girl who loves 70s music, like that's like my favorite. And so it's technically mid-tempo rock from the 70s and 80s. However, it's pretty funny because the songs that they tend to play on the station, they make fun of it themselves. It's like, imagine you're on a yacht in the middle of the ocean and you have your champagne and you're listening to music. What would you listen to? And these are sort of the things that they say, you know, the songs they say they would listen to. You know, for some of the bands I can think of would be like Chicago, the Eagles,
I'm thinking thinking maybe even some Kid Creole and the Coconuts, you know, maybe, you know, just to talk about.
Absolutely. That could absolutely work, right? So it's whatever you make it. But I do love that as hard as I work and as much as I have my passion for everything I do, I love to relax. And I think it's really important. It's a lesson I learned over the last year going through coaching school and becoming a professional coach. I learned that it's really important to relax as hard, you know, as much as you work hard, you have to relax hard. So Yacht Rock's part of that. You know, I put my Yacht Rock on, I sit outside with my glass of wine, and I just relax.
And I trust Kaylee and indeed Fergus, you take note of that because it's a very critical way to actually glass of wine, you know, Yacht Rock, it'll happen.
Sounds amazing.
You guys will love it.
And dream big. It's educated the whole process. You know, Emma already is kind of planning her next yacht trip to actually sort the thing through. Among Us is the text, of course, written by your good self, Christina Rienzi. And you can, of course, go to ChristinaRienzi.com to find out some awesome aspects with respect to that. There's so much more we can talk about, Christina, and so much more I really want to talk about. But time, as ever, is a bit of a challenge. So have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Absolutely. It's been fabulous, and I'm so grateful to be on the program and so thankful for you guys and just appreciative of this opportunity.
I think that deserves a round of applause for Christina Renzi.
Yay! And will you return again? Will you come back and join us?
I will be there anytime.
Splendid. Here's some yacht rock then, courtesy of Kid Creole and his Coconuts. Perfect musical accompaniment to graduation day in the University of Lincoln. Absolutely wonderful. A mix of disco, Latin America, South American, Caribbean, Trinidadian, a whole range of things. And even more excitingly, we can welcome to the programme now the fabulous, amazingly wonderful thing, baby, who is August Darnell. How are you, August?
Damn, that's a great introduction, man. Thank you.
As an August, you are Kid Creole. I mean, you are. You know, this is critical stuff, you know. So, and when we got the line saying that you'd released a news, and I just thought, it's unbelievable. It's just awesome. And you're in Sweden at present.
Yes, indeed. I'm in southern Sweden, and I'm chilling here before I go back to Maui, Hawaii, because I spend the winters. The European winters, I go to the Pacific Ocean.
It's important, you know. As you know, Tessa, we like to encompass our Hawaiian connections. We've got you back on the show. We need to sort of broaden that basis out. I mean,
yes,
you know, Fergus and Emma have had all the sort of cold, wintry summer sort of scenario from that point of view. So open up the celebratory thing.
This is correct.
I cannot believe, August, that was in the 1980s. I mean, I'm a wonderful thing, baby. And there's so many, you know, the wonderful phrasing that you can actually put into, Annie, I'm not your daddy. It's like a paternity suit in so many ways. just put out this extraordinary stool pigeon. Don't take away my coconuts. I even bought the album of the coconuts as well. You married one. It's amazing. It's just great, you know. He didn't obviously literally marry a coconut, but it's just in case.
But it's a great story. And when I look back at those days, I am shocked at the fact that I'm still in it. I'm still here.
Well, I mean, I have to say the latest number is particularly awesome. We're going to hear that in a few moments' time, but we've got a general flavor. But Tessa, you're our musical expert. Any questions you'd like to put to the awesomeness that is Creole August Darnell?
Yes, no, definitely. Hello.
Hello.
Obviously, you've been in the business a long, long time. What have you noticed that's changed since making music way back when to now?
Way back when? It's,
yeah, but you know what I mean.
Way back when?
The 80s, wasn't it? That was a great
honestly,
era.
Honestly, August, sometimes these youngsters, you know, who are sort of in their 20s, they way back when.
I didn't mean it like that. You know what I mean. There's probably been a lot of changes, but what have you noticed in the music business?
I know exactly what you mean, and I also must say that youth is wasted on the young, but in this case, I agree with you. So much has changed in the business. The business has imploded and exploded, and in my opinion, it's just what the record companies deserved because they were ripping off the artists so bad that now justice is served. And so it's about time this revolution happened in the music business. Back in the day, however, in the good old days, when you got a record contract, you were a happy soul because there was a lot of money to be spent on the record, and you knew that you had an opportunity to reach the masses through the record company's connections. So that was the good part of it. But the bad part of it was you didn't realize you were making 8, 9, 10% and they were making 90% or whatever. But you didn't realize that. You didn't realize that the limousines you were taking, they were going to charge you for on your royalty statement. So all these little things that you didn't know as a youngster, you find out as you get older but wiser.
There we go.
I prefer the term August becoming more chronologically gifted or indeed experientially enhanced. But that's a different line, you know. I have to say that, I mean, you got me through my undergraduate days. That's all I can say.
Thank you. Absolutely. I'm happy that I did. Yeah.
In the beginning, there was a vision by Kid Creole, the vision of a multicultural carnival without stylistic limitations, the vision of a colourful theatre with fascinating characters. This is the theme I try to encompass in the Midweek Drive on a weekly basis to kind of share that legacy.
I think we need to, you know, take note from that.
The vision of an exuberant, joyous lifestyle full of irony, humour and sophistication.
Wow, absolutely. You know, the ironic thing about all of this is the motto for America used to be "De pluribus unum," which means out of
the many come the one. Yes.
Now, tell me how wrong that is in today's politics. That is like the complete wrong emblem for America today. I can't speak for the rest of the world because I'm an American. I don't want to diss any other countries, but I'm dissing America because it's my country. "De pluribus unum" should be wiped off the face of anything that is written on.
And that is why the campaign to have August Darnell in the presidential race for 2020 starts here. You know,
Thank you. Got to
go from that point of view. August, mini musical break now. I'm going to put the question to your good self. Would you like to recommend the team go down the line of Annie? I'm not your daddy. Classic.
I still love that track.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, it is good. And as I say, I bet even Emma Street will be unable, I say, to stop her feet from tapping to this little number.
In other times, Darnell might have been called a wit. His best songs are dazzlingly witty. They can also be sarcastic, ambiguous, deceptively eager to please. It's pop as a moving target, brightly coloured, even garish, but rich with shades of grey. Words of David Peshek. Oh. Awesome.
Wow. That is an incredible track. You know, the problem with writing a song like that in your early days is that you can't beat it.
It is. I mean, unless Emma, your feet were tapping, were they not?
They were tapping. Yeah, I think all our feet were tapping. Yeah. It's brilliant. Can't get enough of that track.
It was wondrous. It's no surprise that you also picked up the Best International Live Act Award. I noticed you had a couple of interesting votes, Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson. A lot of people might have heard of them. I think they learned it all from yourself, August, personally.
I got to meet my idol, Paul McCartney. Wow. And he was great. We had a wonderful conversation. Michael Jackson refused to talk to me, but that's okay.
Yeah, look, he had lots of issues with Michael, so just let it go.
Michael wouldn't talk to me, but as I say, we are both Americans, and he probably felt threatened by my success. So I let
it
go.
Way forward, you know.
Paul was great. He walked over to me and said, "If I was in your blood, you wouldn't be so ugly." So he quoted one of my songs, and I said, "Jesus Christ,
exactly.
Paul McCartney is quoting."
Yeah, yeah. That's a moment, you see. And bottom line is, as I'll say on this fine day in September, Michael Jackson might have been bad, but you're wicked. That's the key thing. Awesome. So
Amen.
Many ways. Brilliant.
Thank you.
Now, let's move a little bit up to date, because I mean, we could reminisce, and in fact, you know, already we need to work on an August Darnell Kid Creole special. But let's talk about your latest song, which I have to is a change in tone. It's a change in routine. You've also got your son involved with, I mean, this is the 2C2C label, which of course stands for Too Cool to Conga. I mean, I know, Tessa, we're looking forward to the Long Road Festival you did on country music, but this to me is just, whoa, you know.
I mean, C2C I know is country to country, but now I know it is a conga. Like, this is great.
Too cool to conga.
Too cool to conga.
From checking my colonies.
That actually came from a person who saw me at a party in Bosnia, of all places in the world. We were doing a gig in Bosnia, and there was a conga line formed at this after-hours party for the military. And I was about to join that conga line because I was in a good mood. And this very attractive lady walks over to me and says, "You're too cool to conga." And guess what? I didn't conga. I wanted to talk to her and see where she got that phrase from. She said she made it up. So I said, "Do you mind if I use that in a song?" She said, "Look, go right ahead, but can you give me credit?" I never gave her credit, but the song, I did write a song called Too Cool to Conga, and then when we decided to open a label, I said, "Let's call it 2C2C because it means a lot to me." And that's how that happened. Now, the reason why that song sounds different, my man, and guys and dolls, is because I did not produce that song. It was produced by my sons, who are much, much younger than I am, and they told me that I was old-fashioned in my sound.
Wow.
So they said, "We are going to produce a song for you that is current." So I said, "Yeah, okay, do what you got to do." And they called me to the studio and they played me this track. I said, "Yeah, track sounds great. I understand it. Let me take it home. Let me work on it." They said, "No, Dad, we don't work that way. You have to do it here in the studio."
Unbelievable. Kids today, Augusta. Kids today.
I told you, man, youth is wasted on the young.
Yes. So true. Well, I think it grows on me. I mean, first time around, I thought, that's what it is. So we're going to have a listen to it now, and then we'll come back, if that's all right, August, and chat a bit more with respect to that and the whole thing.
Absolutely.
It's Check In My Colonies. Nothing to do with any kind of post-colonialism, presumably. But you never know. Kid Creole and the Coconuts, 2019.
Boom.
Eccentricities.
navigating the waters between disco, calypso, show tunes, soul, big band. But it's a huge round of applause, I think. Yeah. You should. There's no messing about. Yay!
You know what? After hearing Annie and then hearing that song sounds like it was drug-induced. but I'm telling you, it wasn't.
It's very much the kind of chillax, the relax. Okay, let's quickly go around. Tessa, what did you make of Checking My Colonies, released, of course, on the 17th of September?
Yeah, an exclusive. No, I really enjoyed that. We were sitting here and we were kind of swaying to it. It was really laid back. It's got a good feel to it. And I like the way it kind of, I don't know, it's modern, but it's still got the twist of your older kind of music, which I quite like because you can recognise
the
you
stamp of genius.
Yeah,
the stamp
well,
of
no,
genius.
It's really, really good.
That's good. That's good to hear. Thank you.
Fergus.
Well, I was just about to say the same thing as Tess. It's kind of the modern feel, but you don't lose the Latin element of it. Mm. So it is kind of a best of both worlds, as you'd say, definitely.
Whether strolling through Central Park, sailing on the Hudson, or visiting the world of music created by Auguste Darnell, the magic of New York lives on in every sunset and every dawn. I just feel it's... Kaylee.
Where are you getting these quotes from?
We do our research. That's the important thing. It's very important.
Fantastic.
Kaylee.
Yeah, I totally agree with the other guys as well. It was really enjoyable, really relaxing. And yeah, just like Tessa said, we were proper swaying. It was really good, yeah. Catchy.
Oh, good. Excellent.
Emma, what about yourself?
I feel like I'm just going to repeat what everyone else has said when you come to me last. but no, I really enjoyed it.
Triple awesome, I think, is the line. Quadruple awesome. Awesome, mega awesome, to use that sort of routine. And
thank you.
I refuse to reuse the modern vernacular, sick, but it's back to sick if I was using that.
It is sick. It is. It's peng. Yeah. It's lit.
My kids are using that all the time. That is sick.
Presumably,
to be
August.
Honest, I don't understand this word.
You worry about my kid says they're sick. You know what? Do you need a doctor? Need some sort of help on that sort of basis?
No, it's sick.
Old school, brother. Old school.
Yes, this is so true. But or perhaps classic. You know, one of those two things.
Yes,
you can clearly go to the delights of Key Creole and access the website, the band, and all the whole various developments and pieces. It's just, again, time is just far too short. August, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Let me tell you something. This has been one of the funniest interviews I've had in quite some time. I've had a great time. I'm sitting here in southern Sweden. It's raining outside, and you guys just brought sunshine into my home.
Aww.
So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Well, we have to ask the second question. Would you be kind enough to rejoin us again? Will you come back with more goodness from the wonderful world of Kikrio?
100%. I'd like to come and meet you, though. I'd like to be in person, in the studio.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. We'd love to have you.
I want to hang out with you.
Yeah. Lincoln, England needs you. Well, positivity is actually there. We will be featuring you before too long. And clearly, we're wrapping up. Don't take away my coconuts, because why would we? You know, it just would never happen.
Believe me, neither will I.
You can take my shake and bake, Doris. You can take my breakup king, even take my ring ding. But don't take my coconuts. Don't take my coconuts. Don't take my coconuts. Don't take my coconut. Doris, you can take my shrimp fried rice. Doris, you can take my Italian ice. Doris, you can take my baby roof. Even take my sweet tooth. But don't take my coconuts. Don't take my coconuts. Don't take my coconuts. Don't take my coconut.
okay, we won't know. It's coming around to 8 minutes to 6 o'clock, and it seems that North Wales is giving us 1-2 challenges in terms of connecting with Zoe James, and don't worry, ZJ will be around in the not-too-distant future. Just when you think we've done Kid Creole and Didn't He Do Us, or when One Way Show for Awesome Kid Creole, still thinking about the art and craft of good songwriting, and I'll mention Paul Zolo, of course, in terms of this as well, who writes about that thing. Coming up very, very soon, Dean Friedman. Again, you might well say, Dean Friedman, lucky star Dean Friedman, etc. Well, once again, hopefully educating matters. A little tease ahead as well, a few weeks' time, the return to the Midweek Drive of Michelle Monroe. Yes, after our cruises and various other bits and pieces, Matt Monroe's daughter is going to be back with us again. And exciting things will develop as well. We're also going to go live to Sam Perdue up at the cathedral in Lincoln to have a few words with Sam. Sadly, Emma will have left us by then, and probably Kaylee Carr will have walked out in fitted peaks saying, I've gone to hunt for my coconuts. All right, that's actually. Kaylee, what have you been doing? Because you're actually, you've spent a bit of time out of education. You graduated, obviously, from Teesside University with broadcast journalism. You're now going to Sunderland University to do a degree in?
Adult nursing.
Nice.
Totally different, I know. That's what we like to see. It's crazy. Yeah. But yeah. I wanted to do it for a while, so I thought, I'm just going to go for it now. Why not?
And strangely wonderful as well, because, you know, a patient might be sort of seeking some care, etc., and they have your smiling face saying, hello, it's genius.
I think therapy, exactly.
But,
should be a great nurse. You've got the friendly face.
Oh, thank you very much.
Maybe not in Britain, but, you know, in doing some... I'm just thinking about the way the country's going. I mean, maybe Scotland, Ireland, you know, England. Yeah, just, you know. Anyway, talking about genius songwriting, have a listen to the lyrics of a song which I was amazed it didn't actually score higher in terms of the Americas back in the day. Actually, I'm going to hold fire on that. I'm going to play it in a few ways because I don't know. What do you think? I mean, we're going up to Dean Friedman. We're obviously going to have a Dean Friedman song. Tessa, I'll throw it to you. Would you like to go for Lydia?
Okay.
Possibility Lydia. From that point of view. Rocking Chair, Woman of Mine, or Ariel. Any of those. We're holding back Lucky Stars for obvious reasons, but, you know. Ariel's good. I mean, if you like lyrics, I'd say Ariel, amazing. I mean, even just the line, which is worth listening to, which I said hi, she said I am. You know? Not that we're kind of inducing any sort of line here. It's high on the oxygen of life, clearly.
Okay, where would you? Was that Lydia, Ariel?
Lydia, Woman of Mine, Ariel. We go old school. Any particular line?
Oh, my goodness, I don't know.
Yeah. Where's the cosmos drawing you to? Radio, maybe Ariel? Sorry, that might be too.
Maybe Ariel.
Okay. Again, Emma, are your feet ready to start tapping their toes?
Yeah, I am ready.
Well, then, and it's also New York, just showing what a creative world of genius New York actually is. Sorry for living in LA, but frankly, you know,
New York's
East Coast.
It's
East Coast this week.
So was I. She was a Jewish girl. I fell in love with her. She wrote her number on the back of my hand. I called her up. I was all out of breath. I said, come hear me play in the rock and roll band. I took a shower and I put on my best blue jeans. I picked her up in my new VW van. She wore a peasant blouse with nothing underneath. I said hi, she said yeah, I guess I am. She forgot to tell me, but she didn't eat me. I had a gig in the American.
You know, just to have actually written one song like that would be sufficient for most creators, but to go on and deal with many, many more, it's just even more amazing, and we're delighted now to welcome that, as we said, awesomely fine musician, singer-songwriter extraordinaire. He is the best from New York in so many ways. Dean Friedman, welcome to The Midweek Drive. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thanks, Alex, and thanks for having me.
Genuine delight. As I say, it's been a kind of New York East Coast special this evening because we had August Darnell, aka Kid Creole, of course, connecting with us from Sweden, and now yourself actually in New York, which is great. And we'll have a wander through some. Dean, we have four folk in the studio who had that. I think it was the first exposure to Ariel, was that?
I'd heard it before.
And your initial thoughts, Emma? I mean, I'm always interested in the sort of new Dean Friedman effects.
Yeah, we all really liked it. It got really catchy and everything. No, I really enjoyed it.
Frankly, Dean, it's phenomenal. And as I said, you go on from that with 12 songs, probably one of the finest latest albums you've actually produced, but we'll work our way through that, because the art of and the craft of good songwriting, one of the things that I've noticed about your work, Dean, is it fits into that line. I mean, you've been described as a cross between Billy Joel and Bruce Springsteen, probably the synthesis of best bits of both. What inspires you? I know it's a cliched question. You think, oh, I've been asked that so many times. But what does develop the genius that produced something like Ariel and some of the other numbers we're going to hear?
Well, I did grow up in New Jersey, which is a little north. Grew up in northern New Jersey, so it's a little north of where Springsteen grew up. But the common denominator were all the petrol fumes off the New Jersey Turnpike, because that went by my house and his, and so that might have had some initial genetic disposition. But in terms of the actual question you're asking, you know, I grew up listening to a lot of great music, and that was a big influence. But I listened to, you know, my mom was a singer. There was always some Broadway show tune on the piano. I got a transistor radio and was listening to Top 40 radio. I always had eclectic tastes in music, and I think that's reflected in the music that I do. I just always had a special affinity for singer-songwriters like Joni Mitchell and Randy Newman, who told stories and painted very vivid pictures with their words and music. And that's something I always aspired to do, starting out as a songwriter, and still to this day, that's my goal, is to try to create a little world in a 3 or 4 minute song.
And that's what you do effortlessly. I mean, that's the marvelous thing. I mean, we mentioned, say, Paul Zolo, who, a reminder, of course, his conversations with Tom Petty is getting a re-release, so great stuff from that point of view. Has Paul Zolo ever actually interviewed you, Dean? I wasn't sure whether he has or he hasn't. If not, we're going to have to put that right.
Wait, run that by me again?
Has Paul Zolo ever interviewed you, our sort of correspondent in Los Angeles and great singers and singer-songwriters? Because if not, we're certainly going to have to we're going to have to get you featured in Volume 3. Because it's all good doing Bob Dylan and some of the, but yeah, we need, Dean, we're going to take a moment's pause now before we actually move slightly updated with a song that I promised Tessa Snart, who hosts our very own Sound and Country Vision, was actually banned, I say again, banned by the BBC. We are going to play it. We are going to play it in Siren Radio for Lincoln and the Globe, etc. Fergus, I know you're shocked at this. Don't worry. I think we're okay with respect to this. But I just want, Dean, you know what it is. I know what it is. We're going to come back to you after this particular number. And I wonder if we can actually understand what exactly the BBC were thinking when they said, nope, sorry, it's off the list. We're not going to play this number.
She is an angel in a polyester uniform. She
An angel in a polyester uniform. Was it, Dean, because you mentioned polyester that actually sort of got the BBC to actually say, we can't have a singer-songwriter mentioning polyester on our airwaves. It's going to be terrible.
No, I have a suspicion that they were convinced millions of people would rush out to the nearest McDonald's to order a hamburger with their appetite.
I know. I mean, and just because actually two of our co-presenters have actually gone to a fast food store, no, that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen to hold back those hunger pangs, honestly. But, I mean, Tessie, your thoughts on that? I mean, you worked with the BBC, the placement there, et cetera. Would you ban it?
Well, I guess it is what it, I don't know if that's the rules, that's the rules, but I mean...
But they're asinine rules.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you're just... Worked for McDonald's. What's wrong with saying that? I mean,
what was it? Do you think, Dean, that they were secretly actually wanting you to do a Casey Jones or a Big Mac or something, or indeed a Burger King? I don't know.
Maybe they just didn't like McDonald's at the time.
But it still stands up today. That's the important thing.
It's a really good song, though.
Still stands up today. We're moving up to contemporary Dean Friedman material, and I mean 12 songs, not one of which is remotely iffy. I mean, you've just got 12 superb albums that were superb songs, Dean. And I was listening to this, the Hummingbird Effect, fantastic. It's cosmology writ large. Something Right, it pulls the heartstrings. Your Friend Janet, it's got a wonderful dialogue there. In fact, I'd almost say Your Friend Janet could be the 21st century equivalent to Lucky Stars. Any thoughts on that, Dean?
No, I like the sound of that, and in a lot of ways you're right, because that's a long-standing relationship, a couple that survived a lot, and doesn't really give a toss about the rest of the world.
They do, exactly. And the other one, which I personally like from this, the Ducks of St. Stephen's Green. Just because, what's not to love? You got St. Stephen's Green, and you got Ducks, and I mean. Can you share with us the tale of the Ducks of St. Stephen's Green? Because the narrative I got from the song was that these people stopped fighting to allow the ducks to pass over.
And that's exactly so. I noticed sometime around, I guess it was 2016, that a lot of friends over in Ireland were posting about the 100th commemoration of the Easter Rising, failed uprising in Ireland against the British, but which subsequently, led to independence for the South. But in sort of educating myself, because Americans don't have much sense of history past 20 years ago.
Dean, we can't all be like Mr. Trump, I mean, it's a different line there. Let's not go there. Step away from that.
In trying to educate myself about Easter Rising, I came upon what's apparently a true story about the Irish Citizens Army trying to kick out the British troops from this beautiful little park in Dublin called St. Stephen's Green, not having very much success. But in the middle of all the fighting and killing, gamekeeper James Kearney threw up a white flag and beseeched both sides to stop fighting long enough for him to feed his ducks. Yeah. And to everyone's astonishment, they did. They put down their arms and once a day let the gamekeeper feed his ducks.
Do you know, I think we've nudged into that. I mean, what do you think, Fergus? I mean, I think we're nudging into having the Ducks of St. Stephen's Green. From the album, 12 songs. It's available now from all good retailers and stores and various other bits and pieces. I love the image as well that we've got on the front cover, Dean, of a kind of somewhat reflective, pensive Dean Friedman, which is wonderful. It's like the artist's work. It's like 21st century Rodin, basically, in a musical sense, obviously. Dean, the Ducks of St. Stephen's Green, if you'd be kind enough to stay with us, we'll pick up some more little thoughts. And Tessa got a few questions for you as well after this little number of Irish history.
Let me tell you a story of bravery and glory, a tale that's both true and surprising, about a muddle in the middle of a puddle in Dublin in the week of the Easter Rising. In the week of the Easter Rising, was 1916 in St. Stephen's Green, the Irish Citizens Army was defending square from the British troops there. The fighting grew savage and stormy. The fighting grew savage and stormy. For the bullets were flying and soldiers were dying, when a gamekeeper name of James Kearney said, "I'd rather retreat, but my ducks have to eat. They've no knowledge of freedom or tyranny. They've no knowledge of freedom or tyranny." Then he took a bold stand, a white flag in his hand. "Hold your fire," he shouted and pled. And then to his surprise, both sides heeded his cries as his ducks waddled over to get fed. As his ducks waddled over to get fed. There were mallards and muscovies, crested and blues. There were harlequins, pintails and widgeons. There were wingnecks and beacons and buffle heads too. And a handful of seagulls and pigeons. Yes, a handful of seagulls and pigeons. And then each afternoon, every squad and platoon held their fire and laid down their arms. As the gamekeeper tended his ducklings and ducks, not a feather on their heads do they harm. Not a feather on their heads do they harm. So step left, step right, my fine feathered friends. Let your webbed feet guide you. But make haste as you waddle and flap, as you paddle and quack. There's a war being waged beside you. There's a war being waged beside you.
I think a round of applause desperately needed. Absolutely. And richly deserved. Dean Friedman, The Ducks of St. Stephen's Green. It's a different change of pace. Tessie,
it's
your thoughts?
It's really good. Yeah, I mean, you really paint a picture with your lyrics, which I think is lovely. And it makes you listen to the story. It's great songwriting.
And Dean, you're in an era where, I mean, one of my great favourite influences certainly was the awesome songwriter Harry Chapin, who sadly passed away a number of years ago. But again, he was also very much somebody who kind of carved that notion of the balladeer and the lines from that point of view. Is that something, Dean, that you've constantly been looking to work and develop and craft as well?
Well, as I say, I was always... especially struck by songwriters like Harry Chapin, who had a narrative, and if not necessarily narrative, at least that they set a scene, almost of a cinematic quality, where you could really be immersed in the song as it was relayed. I often think of what I do as sort of being a short story teller, writing short stories set to music. So that would, the Ducks of St. Stephen's Green would be a perfect example of that. The difference being is that in that instance, it was, based on real history. So that made the job, in part easier, but also a little more difficult to get it right.
Now, I've just realised, shockingly, we've missed you in Abergavenny. On the 25th of July, 2019, you're in concert in Abergavenny. Unbelievable. Sorry, Dean, we're going to have to cut. We'll sort our way through this. But when will you be coming back to the British Isles, Dean Friedman? We need you over here. We've got too much trauma with our mini Trump in whatever he's doing. But still, let's not go political.
We're dealing with a similar phenomena, but
you've got a bigger Boris. We've got a mini Trump. It's amazing. But still, there we are. Both blonde. Step away.
In any case, I generally tour for spring and then towards the end of the summer. So I do expect to be back sometime mid-April through mid-May, and I'll be somewhere in your neck of the woods. I don't know how soon I'll get back to Abergavenny, although I like saying Abergavenny.
I do, exactly.
It's a very nice
it's
name.
It's catchy.
It almost needs a song to be written about
yes.
it, Dee.
There we go. That's your basis.
You know,
next song.
We've had New York, New York. Why not Abergavenny? It's a thought from that. Tessa, obviously host of Sound and Country Vision and very much a keen sort of proponent of country music, you're at the Long Road Festival, etc. Questions for Dean?
Yeah, is writing something you've always done from a young age? Did you know did you write stories from a young age?
Well, Tessa, I wrote my first song when I was 9 years old.
Oh my goodness, what was the song? What was the title?
It's called I'd Love to Take a Swim with You in the Summertime.
Nice. Yeah. He's still got that romance, hasn't he?
Oh,
he's got
never
that romance
lost it.
There. You know, it's amazing.
9 years old, wow.
Well, you know, it's anyone starting out, you basically mimic, the people that you listen to. So I was, you know, learning songs by the Beatles and the Monkees. And, with four chords, you can cover a lot of ground. And I had a serious crush on my fourth grade teacher. It was
These days, of course, Dean, we just have to step away from that and say, hashtag no way, just step away from that. But I know where you're coming from exactly. It's that sort of burgeoning feelings of romance. Yeah. But having said that, did you even pluck up the courage to actually go to your fourth grade teacher and say, will you actually take a swim with me in the summertime, miss? No, best not to.
My track, take a listen.
Yeah, maybe it's just a different life in New Jersey. It's a different world entirely, as many of our New Yorkers would actually say. Sorry, Tessa, carry on.
I've completely lost the plot now.
Well, we have. I know that also in Wales, Robin Pearce specifically said when we alerted him to the fact that Dean, you were going to join us on the show today, you got to play Lucky Stars. this could be seen as controversial, Dean. I probably have pushed would say I prefer Woman of Mine, because Woman of Mine, sometimes I just think, yeah, you took a mighty fine time. I just like Woman of Mine. It's a personal favourite. Rocking Chair, of course, is well up there in terms of ha-has. And as I've already said, the Hummingbird Effect, I just think it just blows it out of the water. You know, it proves all sorts of things. So I'll leave you, Dean, with the decision. You know, I'm going to pass that mantle of choice in terms of which of that sensational compilation you would recommend. Would you say, yes, it's time after you were reunited in 2012 after 25 years with Denise Master to actually play Lucky Stars? We're not as smart as we'd like to think we are. You can thank our lucky... Sorry. I'm not going to ruin it, Dean, because I'm just going to hold it there. Lucky Stars are all...
Well, here's the thing. Yeah? I get a lot of for having written Lucky Stars, and that's to be expected. When you rhyme dumb with glum,
yes,
you have to be willing to.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of the song, and I always get a kick out of performing it because I do it with the audience. They sing the girls' part. Having said that, I've written hundreds of songs, which I, you know, am equally proud of, and they often get neglected.
Yes.
So I quite like your reference to your friend Janet as a modern follow-up to Lucky Stars. Mm. So that would be my choice, or Malala, either of those.
Both excellent choices. Excellent. Right. Well, I tell you what, let's just bridge this, okay? Let's sort the thing through. We will play your friend Janet, but we'll squeeze in, for the benefit of people who sort of want that Lucky Stars, a little an aperitif of Lucky Stars. Then we'll say our final two questions with your good self, Dean, and then we'll use your friend Janet to take us round to Lincoln Cathedral. It's not a religious thing, Dean. It's just we've got a graduation ceremony taking place up there, so it's away there. Okay, in fact, would you like to introduce, because it is the one which, you know, in the 70s, there are people... Self included, probably, who actually would have seen this as what paved the way for so many heartbroken romances. But anyway, Dean, would you like to introduce it, please?
Certainly. It's a song that I think struck a chord because it summons up very familiar squabbles that all couples confront at some point when there might be some sort of ex. In the picture, even briefly. And
did you see Lisa? Yes, I saw Lisa. Was she not angry? No, she wasn't angry. Sorry.
There you go. Well, and that struck a chord, and I've been dealing with the consequences ever since.
Dean, it is awesome. With you, get it a few seconds after.
Lucky Stars. Electrifying. Yeah, after all these years, electrifying. Tessa, did you make of it?
Oh, I know, it was lovely. It was very, I don't know, laid back.
And a happy ending as
and
well.
Yeah.
And a saxophone. And a saxophone.
We were discussing that earlier.
Yeah,
that
the importance of a saxophone. Dean, fantastic. Dean, it's been absolutely fantastic. A genuine pleasure to connect with the good self across the Atlantic. We have two critical questions. Are you still angry? No, I'm not. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you, Dean Friedman?
It's been a delight and a pleasure, and nice to meet you folks.
Well, the next critical question is, of course, did you see Lisa? No, it's not that. Will you be kind enough to join us again and obviously join us to reflect more on the state of songwriting and much, much more good things?
Absolutely. I'd also invite your listeners to visit my website, which is deanfriedman.com. And just to mention to Tessa, who's a fan of country music, is that I wrote Lucky Stars. I was listening to a lot of country music, and there had always been a long tradition of duets in country music. But at the time that Lucky Stars came out, there were not a lot of pop duets. So in some ways, Lucky Stars was sort of my pop version of a duet.
I might have to just feature your track on my show then.
I think it definitely there. And as you're right, it's at deanfreeman.com, where you can actually get tickets for the 2019 US tour for our colleagues over in the States who are working through that. Dean, it's been fun. A round of applause for Dean Freeman, please. And as promised, what I would regard certainly from his latest album, 12 Songs, which is absolutely sensational, Your Friend Janet. Dean, we salute you. Take care now.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
From another planet, and your friend Jane is such a pain, and your friend Kate is so irritating, and that awful guy she's dating, all he does is complain, and I don't get along with anybody, you're the only one I like just a bit. Call me a fuss budget or a fuddy-duddy. Let's you and me light up a bowl and make a night of it.
Your friend Joel is such an asshole. Your friend Jake is such a snake. Your friend Bill is such a pill. Didn't like him the first time we met. I don't like him still.
I don't get along with anybody. You're the only one I like at all. Call me a fuss budget or a fuddy-duddy. Let's you and me go out tonight, catch a movie at the mall.
And what better thing could you actually do after a graduation ceremony? I think there's a country theme to that, Tessa. I mean, not the graduation ceremony, but your friend Janet, Dean Freeman, paving the way for the return to the midweek drive of Sam Perdue, ace academic and general reporting live from, of course, the Cathedral of Lincoln in England, Lincolnshire. Sam, in the studio, of course, we have two folk who've been through that process. Tessa last year, and indeed, actually, Fergus last year as well. Was it last
and
year?
And it'll probably be the second time.
And second time as you're doing your MA in journalism. MA just yes, Fergus and Tessa. So what's the scene, Sam? What's happening?
What's happening, Alex? Do you know what? It's an absolutely beautiful evening here in the Balegate area of Lincoln. I'm looking at the cathedral, looking at it in all its glory, and you know, the sun just hits it in that beautiful place. And I was thinking of trying to find a way of describing how beautiful this evening should be for all of the graduates who will be graduating from the School of English and Journalism here at the cathedral. And I was thinking, as the sun sets here in the Bale, the sun will rise on these graduands' next career path. So it's absolutely beautiful. There's lots of anticipation here. Lots of parents seem really excited. Do you know, this is the time of year that you see so many parents really happy and really kind of so proud of their sons and their daughters. There's grandparents here as well. That's lovely when people are able to bring the whole family along to celebrate in these graduate success. I can see people now walking into the cathedral, so they'll all be taking their places, which is really exciting, and the ceremony will kick off in exactly 59 minutes time, Alex.
That's less than 3,600 seconds, Sam. So amazing. You know, it's just scooting along there. It's amazing. And that is one of the reasons why Sam Perdue is an award-winning broadcaster. She can paint those pictures. You know, it's worthwhile. Tessa, any quick questions for Sam?
Yeah, well, I think we're very, very lucky here, aren't we, in Lincoln, to graduate in the cathedral.
Your sister's going to be up there tomorrow morning.
Yeah, she is, definitely. Have you got any quick tips for my sister? I mean, I could give her a few.
Different school, but same College
of
Arts.
Yeah, exactly.
quick tip. Well, first of all, don't be nervous about walking across the stage. There are ramp up. There's no steps involved. Smile, because I think that's what a lot of people forget to do as they walk across the stage. They look so nervous. So smile as you go.
Sam, if you're wearing high heels and trying to maintain dignity can be a challenge. I know of what I speak, you know? It's very challenging.
It's, in that case, just wear flat shoes like I do. That just eliminates all of that risk. But smile, and the person you doff your cap to is the person in the very centre of the front row. Lots of people have no idea who they're doing that to.
They give you a demonstration, though. I think I remember they kind of told you how to salute. They told you how to do it. So it'll be over before you know it, really. So don't worry about it.
And it's fair to say you don't want to goose step across the stage. that's wrong. That's a wrong sort of attitude, and that's not appropriate. So no matter how tempted it might be, or indeed a kind of backwards moonwalk shuffle, which I was very tempted to do, but then they said, no, it's Princess Anne who's going to be actually presenting the whole thing. This was another university. And I thought, oh, fair enough. But so it goes. We're in an 80s mood. Sam, it's been fantastic sharing yourself with you, and I'm going to ask you, who would you like to ask you the last two questions? Would it be Fergus? Fergus, or would it be Tessa?
Oh, Fergus. That's a great name.
Sam, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show this evening?
Always. And do you know what? It brings a smile to my day.
There you go.
And will you be joining us again on the show again in the future?
Absolutely. I'm sure Alex will find another appropriate...
Always a place. Always a place to have a reporter up the hill. Exactly. It's what it's all about, really. And meanwhile, as we've had a kind of Kid Creole and Coconuts and Dean Freeman celebratory routine to take us over to Wales...
I'm going to find me a cave. Gonna shut myself in and not come out again. I'm gonna stay there till I rot in my grave. And if someone comes a knocking, I just won't let them in. Oh, woman of mine, you picked a mighty fine time to tell me that you're on your way. Now that I'm out of my mind, tell me how the hell I'm ever gonna make it through another day. Well, baby, there's just no way. I'm gonna rob me a bank. I'm gonna get myself arrested and go to jail. I'll spend the rest of my life in a tank. And if someone tries to help me, I'll refuse the bail. Oh, woman of mine, you picked a mighty fine time to tell me that you're on your way. Now that I'm out of my mind, tell me how the hell I'm ever gonna make it to another. There's just no way.
Sitting at his desk, writing some Shocktober content for the site, that of course is the Robin Pierce site, and whilst listening to Kid Creole and the Coconuts, could there be a better way of actually welcoming a Try to Remember September time? I don't know. Robin Pierce, welcome to the Midweek Drive. How are you?
And a big hello to you and Emma and Kaylee and Tessa and Fergus. And hi, listener.
Hi, Robin.
Well, I mean, the news is, after we played that track that was banned by the BBC, as we said, both Kaylee and Emma left the studio to get some fast food munchies. I mean, maybe they were right. Maybe they're right.
Well, hold on a second. If that kind of advertising actually works, right, I've got the proof that it doesn't. There are so many love songs in the world, right? Why are we still fighting each other?
All you need is love. Maybe they're thinking about it's...
Oh, John Lennon, white man.
All you need is the egg, you know, as in all you need is lurf, the egg.
I do like a lurf. You can even say it seductively. Lurf. I mean, the only way you can say egg seductively, really, when you think
especially,
about it.
Especially if it's a duck egg that's being stopped in on St. Stephen's Green.
No, you can't even... Even with your best seductive voice, you can't say egg.
I think you have done that, Robin. I think you've manifested. Who knows what Phil Dennis is thinking? Probably saying, I want to speak to Tessa. Robin, get on with it. What have you thought about the show? Has the bar been raised? I mean, Kid Creole, you might have, if you'd been with us from the start, also had a little trip down St. Lucia and my own little jump up.
Lucia.
Exactly.
Actually, that reminded me, I've got some bad news for you. On October the 2nd, you're going to need somebody to fill my spot because I will be in France.
There you go. Not that that's ever stopped. I mean, you know, France. August Darnell is in Sweden. We still like to connect with him. So, I mean, I don't know what his issue is, really.
Oh.
You know, Phil Dean is in Los Angeles. An hour ahead. But, you know, enough of such stuff. Carry on, Robin.
Oh,
it's
absolutely. Yes, Caribbean. A nice Dr. No beginning to the program.
Well spotted,
loved
sir.
That.
Well spotted.
Well, loved that. The three blind mice, of course.
Well, if Anna Lewis was unwell, I thought, what can we do? You know, just bring out the Caribbean Calypso.
I love the idea of the alien blog by Christina Reinze. It reminded me that The X-Files debuted 26 years ago yesterday. Mm.
I avoid any reference to The X-Files because I thought it would be unfair, and obviously Phil Dennis might actually turn around and say, but what about Dean Hagland? He may never have even met Christina Reinze or Reinze.
Well,
that's
true. I took exception with your driver saying that the 80s were way back when. It seems like only
I'm never going to live that down. I didn't mean it like that. I love the 80s, by the way.
Yeah, 1880s.
I'm looking at you with despair, okay? You know what my despair looked like. Okay, I've got a question. Annie, I'm Not Your Daddy by King Creole and the Coconuts. There's one part where the chorus, the backing singers, they seem to me, and always have seemed to me, and I've even checked the lyrics, it's nowhere down here, seem to be singing Ono, Ono, Onomatopoeia.
Yes.
Is that right?
Not quite.
That's right, yeah.
But does... it's just a really badly misheard lyric.
But there is an onomatopoeia theme to that.
Yeah, I mean, onomatopoeia is itself onomatopoeia. Mm, that's true.
Well, there we go.
But not quite. Anyway, we'll sort that out for you.
Fergus, you have just answered a question that's been plaguing me for decades.
Well, it's like how slang is itself a form of slang, because it's slang for short language. Mm. Yeah.
There we go.
So, roll in the English graduates, and that's what 3 years can actually develop in you.
Now, the kids won't get this one, Alex, but the saxophone on Lucky Star.
Yes.
Does that remind you of that laid-back theme for Taxi?
Yeah, there are elements of that. That's a little bit more, and obviously you don't have Danny DeVito, when actually people say goodnight, you know, whatever.
Oh, and you mentioned Abba Gvenny. There should be a song about it, and there was by Marty Wilde in 1968.
Marty Wilde.
There you go.
Yeah.
Kim's dad, who's now doing adverts.
Yes, absolutely.
That's Kim,
take
not Marty.
Trip up to Abba Gvenny, hoping the weather is fine.
I'll look that up.
See a red dog running free? Well, you know he's mine, and so on and so forth.
Next week, I promise you.
Robin has done his research.
Day trip to Bangor. Carry on, Robin.
Right. Okay, so you're not going to get me to choose between Dean Friedman and August Darnell because they are both absolute legends.
Oh, no. What do we do?
Who's going to... Is it
the proverbial coin flip?
I've been listening to this show all day long and you have not disappointed me, guys.
Oh, no.
Except for the way back when remark, okay? I'm holding that.
Can you not play mashup? Half and half?
No, we don't do mashups here. We
That's so sick.
Something like that started in the 80s.
This week, ace of the show goes to Mr. Alex Lefchuk for putting the whole extravaganza together.
Oh, my word. Honestly, it's a team-based scenario. That's
we should give you a round of applause.
Yeah,
applause. You give him a round of applause.
Here we go. That's just for you.
Oh, okay. Well, there we are. It's splendid. Well, I mean, I've waited this, and we've still got Phil Dennis to squeeze in as well. It's just been
jam-packed. Really,
I have expected you to go into full-on sort of Oscar thing, like, you like me. You really like me.
Some Sally Field, right? Yeah.
Not going to happen, Robin. Not on the Sally Rambing page. But anyway, that's another line entirely. Task two questions for Robin, please. Fergus.
Robin, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
Oh, I've had a ball.
And will you be joining us next week?
I would love to. Yes, thank you, Fergus. I will.
Tessa's top tune, of course, next week. Tessa's top tune. I suppose you could select a top tune for yourself, really, in a few moments. Meanwhile, let's go Celtic. Let's go Big Country.
Ooh.
Quite right, Tessa. Absolutely right. You know, here you are doing a live midweek drive, first time in pretty much this year, I think, in terms of actually in the studio. And you bring along your own particular sort of Tessa's top tune, because it's a regular feature now, you know, which is working through that. And we haven't played it.
I know.
And it's called Diamonds.
I kind of thought we'd run out of time.
Well, you know, you'll have to negotiate with with our man in Los Angeles, who may or may not have heard any of the programme so far. Back
who
in
knows?
The day, of course. He used to blog about it, the same way Robin Pierce blogs about it. But these days. Phil Linus, from the Los Angeles Breakfast Show, Ace Director, General Round, Friend of Humanity. Welcome to the Midweek Drive.
I have not only had a full Breakfast Club meeting today, but I had a rehearsal for next week's meeting. I had a meeting with a development meeting with a comic book writer, and then I had a meeting with one of my corporate branding customers. All of this before, and yet I can still unequivocally say what my favorite part of the midweek drive has been. It was that part, I forget how long ago it was now, but when you pointed out that Tessa hadn't played her favorite tune. That was my...
You got Kid Creole and his Coconuts, you got August Darnell, you got Dean Friedman, you got Christina Rienzi, you got Robin Pierce,
I've been waiting for this moment, Phil.
She was very nearly going to leave the studio about 10 minutes ago, actually, Phil, before I said, because she said, isn't Phil normally at half six?
Yeah, I think I'm at half six. I've stayed around.
Exactly.
I've stuck around for you.
Exactly. That is what I was asking. When Alex, who I almost called Richard just now, because, quite frankly, he calls me so infrequently these days that I can barely remember who he is. I said I was about to look up to see if you'd changed the clock for fall or something.
The main thing is you're here now.
I mean, would you honestly have preferred that we actually gave way and gave less time to "You Can Thank Your Lucky Stars That We're Not As Smart As We'd Like to Think We Are"? And Dean Friedman, really? Seriously?
That was beautiful, Alex.
Thank you. better. He obviously hasn't caught my Creole accent either, which we did earlier in the programme. He's probably going to complain about that. Mm. Anyway, Phil, Tessa.
Yes.
Off you go. Quiz each other. Talk
about
life. It's over to you.
Where do I start, Phil? I mean, I tried to keep up with you on social media. I've seen some pictures.
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's going on?
I went blind at the beginning of summer, and I had multiple eye surgeries to restore my eyesight, and now I see better than I have in 12 years.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
There's always a light at the end of the tunnel.
You think that, and yet it turns out there really isn't that much worth seeing.
Now, you say that. I mean, we have a day where basically, as we said, Eva McDonald, glandular fever. Poor Eva McDonald. You know, it's all right, Eva. There's a song been written about you.
There has.
Courtesy of Dean Friedman. Banned by the BBC, but we'll play it on Siren when you return. Chloe Rose. car crash.
Last week.
It's just all happening. I've come back, Phil, to the midweek drive, and all this news has flooded in, and I don't have to take it all.
Prorogation.
Is it because this is a week which has a Friday the 13th in it?
Maybe. Oh, my goodness.
What am I doing on Friday the 13th? Going with Chloe Rose to the North of England Horticultural Society's Autumn Flower Show.
Maybe wrap yourself up in bubble wrap. Just in case.
How can I drive then?
That is a problem
one
too.
One by one. It's a fantastic Agatha Christie-esque narrative there. Scenario, as Alex would say. One by one, all the midweek drivers and midweek drivettes are...
So really, I should have just stayed at home.
No. Never give up, never surrender. That's our motto. It was good enough. For the 90s.
I don't know if you should have stayed home, Tessa, but you are our number one suspect at this point because it all has happened since you were coming. Yeah.
Oh dear. No, I'm not guilty. Honestly, I'd hold my hands up if it was me.
It wouldn't. You're too obviously guilty to be guilty.
There you go.
That's the thing.
You're the red herring.
It's going to end up being Fergus. That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
The plot thickens.
Okay. Let us progress with it. Where are we taking this? I don't know. What have been your highlights of the show this evening, Fergus? Let's give Phil a reason to download the podcast and connect with us from that point of view. If he can't make us tomorrow morning, of course.
I thought this was a podcast. Are we actually live?
We are.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Unless otherwise notified, we are always like.
Anyway, what bits should we look out for?
Kid Creole. I mean,
you think so?
Lovely bloke.
Phil, if I said this word, I was amazed. I was amazed that actually you haven't used this for Chilpack Hollywood because it's begging. It's begging to be used by Dean Haglund and yourself. 2C2C. Okay? 2C2C.
Can't forget that.
Quite literally, too cool to conga.
Okay.
All right. That reaction was just brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And that's the difference between East Coast New York, August O'Neill, New Jersey Dean Friedman, and the slightly laid back LA, California.
It takes a lot to impress Phil, you know?
Tell me about it. 10 years. But 10 years.
He's seen it all. He's heard it all.
Constantly sort of working on some sort of relentless, unbelievable. As I tell you what, would you like Phil to comment on diamonds? Because we can actually squeeze in the whole thing, and then Phil tell us about diamonds, please, Tessa.
So this is a track by Arkansas Dave, a country singer from the Swamps. He performed at the Long Road last weekend. He's country rock, and his debut album is out now, and he's brilliant, really.
For any northern listeners, that's not our Kansas Dave, as in it's Arkansas Dave.
I think that's where the name comes from.
Yeah,
Arkansas. Do you mean Arkansas?
Okay. Yeah,
Arkansas.
Here diamonds.
Just the dream of being home.
Go the wonderful soul country rock sounds of Arkansas Dave and Diamonds. Here we go. There we go.
Would you like to ask nice. Phil what he thinks of it?
Phil, what do you think of the track?
Hmm. Honestly. I think first of all, if we mispronounce Arkansas, then... On especially on 9/11, then we let the terrorists win. But
I'm just checking my phone.
What was interesting was at first it seemed very evocative of Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, oddly enough,
he's not a fan of Bruce Springsteen.
No, and then that's what I'm going to say. And then thank God it became good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because evocative of Bruce Springsteen is one of the biggest insults that I could level at something. But it really, then I started to really feel the time and the place.
Yeah.
You know, it really okay, now it's capturing me and it's transporting me somewhere.
That's really, really good.
And so I was I was in the bayous. I had my feet kicked up. I had a mint julep. I had a straw hat on, and
I love it.
I was remembering the way life used to be when it was sadder and simpler but better.
I'm glad. Well, I'm very, very glad. And
too cool to conga.
I think Dave would be pleased too with that.
Well, it's a good message. You know, it all works its way through. Message. It's nice to actually have it live.
Yeah, definitely.
What is the too cool to conga? Why am I supposed to care about this?
Phil, you're not going to turn around and say, as a child who basically found Tarzan Boy by Baltimore one of the all-time tracks of the great numbers, that Kid Creole and His Coconuts was something that passed over your particular cultural milieu.
No, it didn't pass over it. I mean, I'm just, you know, again, now, come on, it's a somber occasion. It's the 18th anniversary of 9/11. I don't want people to say, how did you commemorate the day? And I said, I played around with
Kid Creole and the Coconuts. Exactly.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's not it'd be fitting a man of my station.
This is very true. and that station is also, as Christina Rienzi would say, think big.
Think big. Yes.
Think
dream big.
Plus, I'm diametrically opposed to the philosophy of being too cool to conga. Mm. I think there's nothing better than conga, quite frankly.
I'm glad I learned that about you today, Phil.
It does show a whole range of things. I mean, we found out about Yacht Rock, I fully anticipate.
Oh, that's a contradiction in terms, Yacht Rock.
Now, Phil, I expect to see yourself and Lily, having already done the nautical updates and various other aspects, to take on board Yacht Rock as a mantra.
I don't know. I just feel like I think those were euphemisms, and they're quite frankly disturbing. But the conga, yes, this is what we're going to do when I visit the Siren Studios. When is that going to be, Alex? Is that in April? Is that when it is?
Well,
what's happening?
Well, I mean, we're... So many things to fall into place here, but in principle...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to make a special trip up here if it's...
Well, but I'm already visualizing the world's longest on-air radio conga line.
Yes.
In
like
the
that.
Siren Studios. Mm. Oh, my goodness. Mm.
Will we fit a choir in here?
I've often thought Phil occasionally has tendencies to fantasisms. Which is fantasist Phil, which is great for a director in many ways, but sometimes can just leave you what?
Sometimes, yes. I'm wrapped up in fantasy, and then the rest of the time I'm imagining getting wrapped up in fantasy.
Will you be joining us tomorrow morning, Phil, or have you still not geared yourself up for the midnight slots to say hi to Gabriella Peralta in Gibraltar and indeed hi to Richard Fitzwilliams recently coming back from Burgundy and actually recently seeing Hamilton because he was unable to go and see, he was clashing at the same time as Downton Abbey, which of course is well up his street for various other aspects of that. What's he reviewing tomorrow morning? Well, we'll let you know, dear listener. He's covering The Informer and For Summer. The Informer and For Summer. Last week, of course, when Phil was not around, we weren't around either because it was a Thursday. Yeah. But before that, two German films. Two German films.
I don't think it's possible to be too German. I think they were just the right amount of German.
We thank Christina Rienzi, Kid Creole, August Arnell, Zoe James. Actually, sorry, ZJ, you didn't manage to connect today. Thanks to Dean Friedman. Thanks certainly to Sam Perdue from
You don't want me to answer whether or not I'm going to join you?
Yeah, we
for
do.
The morning
of course, Phil. Is it yes? Is it no? Is it? Do the eyes have it or do the nose have it? Order. Do the eyes have it?
Oh, I'm so glad. All I can think about is John Bercow. Oh, my goodness. If you could replace the speaker. Now. We love him. We love him in this country. But Alex, you should replace him. I won't be joining you tomorrow morning.
The nose to the left. Thank you, Phil. And Tessa, last two questions for Phil Dinnis, please.
Oh, I get two questions.
You do.
It's been
you
a
do.
While.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening, Phil?
Oh, I've enjoyed it to the degree that makes me think that probably very few other people did. That's
okay.
How much fun I had.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good answer.
It's cool.
It's a good answer, isn't it? And you won't be joining us in the morning, but will you be joining us next week?
Yes. And when I say yes, I mean no.
Okay.
No, I
in the future,
not.
Maybe?
No, I will not. Yes, of course, in the future. But I will try to find a replacement for me for next Wednesday. How about that?
That would be
wonderful. That would help in so many delightful days. Phil, we salute you. Take care. Fergus, thank you. Thanks to you, dear Lister. Thank you, Tessa. Happy trails to everybody. Keep on keeping on. Don't forget Sound and Country Vision tomorrow night, 7 o'clock.
This is Siren Radio, Lincoln.